I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So we are told that this bill will hit the Senate floor beginning of next week, and it's House Bill 544. Number of texts coming in. Tell us who the author of the bill is. So in fairness to everybody, folks, this is a deal. This is a bill that was introduced last year to do the extension on the license, not the lease, the license for Harris. It was defeated, ran into some problems for very good reasons. And a lot of hard questions were put forward to the Harris folks. In my view, of course, I think their perspective would be different. Inadequate answers. We had the Harris representatives on the show many times, and we talked about a lot of different issues, and we can agree to disagree. It was all very respectful, and I appreciate them coming on. And it was delayed, and the state, you know, said, look, we're going to hire a consultant, an expert in the field. We're going to look at this, make sure that what should be on the table is actually on the table. And that's where they are today. They did that. They got their numbers. They did their due diligence, and the bill's back. With this little caveat about this tax, and, you know, and that's what's really kind of stuck in my craw. We've had this litigation going on for a while, kind of known about it, and all of a sudden they slipped this other little provision. It should not be in there. It needs to be amended out of the bill. And they really need to just come forward and say, we're going to pay it. 6-2 and even, over and out, we're paying it. Like every other business in the state of Louisiana does, they pay it. The way this works is that transactions have consequences. And one of them is a sales tax or use tax. Now, what makes this one a little different, because I got a couple of texts and people are a little bit that not quite understanding. So if you or I walk into the Harris Hotel over there right now and check in, they're going to collect a sales tax or a room tax or whatever you want to call it on us checking in and getting a room. It's when they give it to somebody for nothing, because then they're not collecting it from the consumer. Then Harris has to come out of pocket. See the difference? They're not in a position now to pass it on to somebody else. Now we're playing with their money. And as you know, if you are a gambler, they never like it when you're playing with their money. They really like it when you're playing with your money. And they always try to shift the differential to where their money never comes into play. Well, unfortunately, that's not how this works in the sales tax world. And if you want to, it's a transaction, and somebody's got to pay. So if you want to pass that on to the consumer, room's free, but you got to pay the taxes because that's the way it is, then they can do that. They can comp the room, but you got to pay the taxes and pass it on to the consumer. They have that choice. The state doesn't care. But they don't want to do that. So that's the difference here. That's why, you know, they've got this little caveat, because they don't want to be placed in a position to collect that tax from the player, or from, you know, the high roller, or whoever it is that they bring in here, and they're having to put it up. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. That's a business model that you've decided that you want to engage in. And with it, there's a consequence. Plain and simple. Let's go to Leon on line two. What say you, Leon?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, and you?
I was wondering what you thought about David Vitter lobbying the Senate president to give this oligarch the okay to go to Kentucky, his home state there, to start a business. When I have some friends from Avondale that say that he left when Avondale shut down, that work is pretty light over there already. So I think it's just a place to wash money, Russian money. And I was wondering what you thought about it.
Well, you know, I talked about that before. I thought it was very, kind of interesting. I mean, we talked about he loved talking about everybody else's moral compass, and as soon as he got out of Congress. One of his clients, I believe, was Oleg Deripaska, a Russian oligarch, who has found himself in the middle of all of this collusion, delusion that's going on out there. And obviously, it's good for him financially. And I guess that now that translates into that means it's good for everybody else. I've gone on record as saying, I don't understand in this country how we can have members of Congress who have access to all of the sensitive information of this country, and within a very short period of time after leaving Congress can go and represent our enemies and lobby our government for our enemy. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But that's we don't prohibit it.
Plus, he pushed his wife through as a federal judge, didn't he?
Well, I mean, she's entitled to do what she wants to do. She's a lawyer in her own right. They got it through politically. I mean, look, it's all about politics. I mean, he criticized a lot of people for working the political process, and obviously they decided that it's now time to go work the political process. I mean, I'll call it as it is. In that respect, was always Johnny on the spot criticizing people about working the political process. Well, now that, he's no longer in politics. I guess he feels like he can work the political process.
Well, I guess what my grandmother used to say with him doesn't apply. If your hands are dirty, you don't stick them in your pocket because now you have two problems. That doesn't matter with him, huh?
I guess not. You put it in your mouth.
All right,
Leon, thank you for calling. That's the difference, folks, as it relates to this transaction, is that they don't want to ask these folks to pay for the tax on the room. They comp the room. They don't want to ask them to pay the tax. So what are we talking about? So if you're talking about $100, and let's just assume the room's $100, you're talking about $3. It's 3%. Because all of the other hotel motel taxes that are being paid already to the city and the city portion, they're paying it. They're paying that. So you're talking about $3. That's why it's only about $40 million right now, going back to 2001 as it relates to this issue. Why they're going to the mat on this, I have no idea. But that's why I said going back. I want to love you guys, but love is a two-way street. Love to hear you weigh in on this. 260-1870 or text 870-870. Give us a shout. We'll be right back. This is Newell, and we're on WWL. We'll be right back. On a text line, this is very similar to an example when you use a coupon for a product at the grocery store that's free. You may get the product free, but you do pay the taxes on the product. That's right. So how's this any different from the situation with Harris? It's not. That's the point. And he said another text here. This really gets me going if this is the truth. I've never generated points, and I don't have a card, so I wouldn't know how this works. And I said, Newell, they may not tax you on the comped rooms, but they do charge you a resort fee. I would love to hear from anybody if that is, in fact, the experience. Because the resort fee, you know who that goes to, right? It ain't the state. It ain't the city. It's to whom? Yeah, you got it. Let's go to Mark on line two. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
I'm confused the fact that Harrah's can monopolize the city downtown, meaning downtown. And that is, they're being, if they approve this license, it's going to be for the next 30 years. What is it that, in view of the fact that New Orleans is trying to attract tourists, and most of them like gambling, that they can't be given a choice of what casino, not necessarily of all casinos, but at least another competitive casino downtown? That's something that really puts them in a position to not be as fair as they should normally be with the players.
Yeah, Mark, you see, that goes back to when we decided, you know, early on what we were going to do. We issued so many licenses, plain and simple. And it's hard to retreat off of that methodology because everybody's made an investment and the structure has been set based on the fact that there was going to be so many licenses. There was one land-based casino in the entire state, and then there were 15, as I recall, riverboat licenses. So we granted an exclusive in the city of New Orleans. And so you kind of adopted that model, and everybody has developed that moving forward. If you were to retreat from that, there would be, if you did not offer concessions and significant modifications to the casino operating contract, I would suspect there would be incredible litigation around that issue. Because it really would be unfair to them in that respect, because that's not the landscape or the environment, the atmosphere in which they came in order to conduct their business, and there was an understanding. So these are contractual obligations. They're bilateral. Everybody has some responsibilities on both sides of the issue to each other. And that's kind of what's got me, you know, it's stuck in my craw as it relates to this transactional tax. Is that, you know, they're in their filings in the court, it's kind of like, well, the state never came and, you know, talked. Well, the state doesn't have to, because they're assuming that, you know, it's a transaction and it's going to be a taxable event. They don't go to people and tell you, you know, we want you to pay the tax. They assume you're going to pay it because it's a transaction. And when you don't is when they assess you an assessment on it, and then, you know, you challenge it and pay under protest, and we go to court, and that's what they did. But it's almost as if they have this assumption that they're going to live in this tax-free world. Well, every business would love to live in a tax-free world. Just think how easy it would be to succeed in business if you didn't have to pay any business taxes. None at all. You know, and think about the competitive advantage. Well, if everybody didn't have to, there would be none. But the way it is now, I mean, you have a competitive advantage if you don't have to pay sales taxes. And that's part of the issue. So there's really not any other group that's on the horizon, because there's only one land base that they've been issue an exclusive in that respect. And it's going to remain that way. And if you want to retreat from that, you're going to have to give up significant concessions in order to do so. And look, as they expand and they play an integral part in this whole tourism thing. So I don't want to, you know, it's not just like beat up on Harrah's Day. They have contributed to a lot of the successes that the city has had. We don't want to sell them short. We want to be fair. But by the same token, when criticism is due, I have no hesitation in bringing forth that issue. And we're about to embark upon, albeit a little early, granting an extension. And we should think about what we're going to do relative to that extension. And this is an issue that ought to be cleared up. Let's go to Sean out in West End. What say you, Sean?
Hey, Noel. In my understanding, when they first granted the land-based casino, it was on the Rivergate building's land. They tore down that building, and the land is owned by the city.
Right.
All right. And
they have a lease with the city for the property.
Yes. And when they were talking about just one casino, a lot of the tourist places, the hotels and the restaurants and all that, they were fighting against it because,
correct,
you know, they didn't want the city to become the main attraction to come into the city.
Yeah, no hotel, no restaurant, just the casino.
Yeah.
And we've made concessions. That's my point. We've conceded to them that for them to succeed, we've understood that the model's going to require these other things. Sean, I'm sorry. I got to get to a hard break for CBS News. We'll be right back after that. We're going to talk about how many rapes before you actually stay in jail. We got a case, not one, not two, but a lot of people texting, wanting to know how do you get information on who votes yes, no on this bill. You can just Google Louisiana legislature. It's House Bill 544. The author is the Speaker of the House, Taylor Barras, B-A-R-R-A-S, and you'll be able to get what the ultimate vote is going to be. I believe it's targeted somewhere either Monday or Tuesday to hit the Senate floor is what I'm being told. And hopefully we'll have some movement on this issue before then. This piece of litigation, I think, is due to be heard in court, according to Tyler Bridges, who has been reporting on it for The Advocate and has really done a great job in his articles in laying this issue out, in a lot of great information on it in July. So this is a piece of litigation that has been bannered back and forth since 2010. This has been going on. This issue needs to get resolved once and for all now. And we had the perfect opportunity dangling this 30-year extension of the license. Dangle that issue, sign off on this piece of litigation, resolve it. You're going to pay the tax, collect it from whoever you comp in the rooms for them or whatever. Do whatever you're going to do, but resolve it, get it over with. Let's clean the slate. Let's move forward. Build your second hotel. Do whatever it is that you're going to do. We want to wish you the best. Build your sports betting parlor. When you go to Vegas now and you go to meet somebody, you know where you meet? In the sports book. I mean, that's the social place now. I mean, that's where it's happening. Probably half the people in there aren't even betting, but they're consuming alcohol. They're having a good time. They're watching the screens, watching the games. They may bet on a few things. Hell, they got a morning line out there on whether or not the sun's going to shine the next day. And it's just part of the atmosphere, and that's okay. We want you to be successful as a regulated industry in this state, but we also want you to pay the taxes that are due. Let's get to Joe. He's been holding on for a long time. What say you, Joe?
First of all, Newell, thank you for your service as a law enforcement officer.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
I don't think enough people give you credit because we call in and we bombard you with questions. And Newell, thank you.
Thank you.
Secondly, I want to talk what you said about, I totally agree with your opinion of the transparency of the chemical industry when you said about the plants. Yes, sir. But give me your opinion, because I know you're an attorney, and I've got a three-pronged question about, there's sometimes that the public, i.e., and I am former military, and I run a major corporation based out of Baton Rouge, which is nationwide, I really don't want people to know what the F we do, because we provide a needed service and a value-added service. So tell me your opinion on that, and then at the end, I'm just going to...
Well, if you're bringing this up in the context of the chemical plants, you know, when we're talking about, you know, hazardous materials and things of that sort, and if there's a spill within the plant, if it's something that, if it's something that's potentially dangerous to the immediate area, whether it be through airborne pollutants or otherwise, you know, there was this bill working its way through the legislature. The Louisiana Association of Business and Industry was very much in support of it.
Lobby is extremely strong. Yes,
right. They were in support of the bill, and they were talking about keeping these spills secret, and that would help promote compliance with safety standards. And Morning Advocate did a really nice opinion piece on it that they laid it out. And it was just something that, you know, if you're going to promote and stimulate a partnership with the Department of Environmental Quality, that doesn't seem to be the best conduit to do so, by keeping it secret. Because the public's interest that's out there, you don't know sometimes, if a plume of material traveled, what direction, prevailing wind, any number of things. If you're keeping it secret, whether or not it needed to have some response by the Louisiana State Police, which is the primary first responder in this state.
Or the DEQ.
You know, or
yes,
the, or the DEQ. And so it just didn't seem, because the problem with this bill is that DEQ wasn't part of it. They weren't involved in the bill. They really weren't. They were not consulted. And it's like, so why are we bringing this bill forward? And this bill may be brought back up for consideration because it was only a few votes shy of passage. It's like, this is crazy. And I don't understand how lobby could be behind this and not ensure that DEQ, which is the regulatory arm of the state, would be involved in protecting the life, safety, and health interest of the citizens of the state of Louisiana. It's a balance of interests, and that they would, you know, be there to be able to opine on this issue.
Well, do you think their lack of giving an opinion, Newell, was based on revenue generation? Because, Newell, let's be honest.
Look, I get all of that. But for the sake of transparency, you got to touch all the bases.
I agree.
Okay. I mean, we can talk about the fines. We can talk about this. We can talk about that. We can talk about regulatory overreach and everything else. And I've discussed that on this show many times. But when you're talking about certain substances out there, which, by the way, were not significantly outlined in this bill, you know, it's a horse of a different color. And it just seems to me that the risk was far too great.
Right.
And we should take a breath, back up, and think about the culture that we're developing. And that's what I was talking about as it related to this tax culture and this safety culture. We're going in the wrong direction.
But, Newell, don't you agree that we are pushing pro-capitalistic ideologies out of the state? Because
no, I don't believe that. What I do believe is that we need to find a balance of interest. There's an equilibrium that we need to reach. And it takes both parties to get there, and that And that's what we're not doing right now. We don't want to talk. We need to talk to one another and talk with one another in order to get to that point of equilibrium. Joe, thanks so much for calling and holding on. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. So 95% of you now believe that we ought to resolve this litigation issue with Harrah's and put it to the wayside and get it resolved before we give them an additional 30-year extension on their license in order to conduct casino operations in the state of Louisiana. And I am in that number as well. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about an interesting case. And, you know, the storyline is how many rapes before you stay in jail? We now have a guy who has been charged with two rapes, but the system has knowledge of three. And he's still out. And he's not even a citizen of the state of Louisiana. He's a citizen of the state of Mississippi. He has an apartment here. And I guess he comes here and he commits his rapes and then goes back to Mississippi. And I'm not sure what we're doing as it relates to these cases, but it always seemed to me that we were going to have, we've had bonds that were much higher than these bonds that have been set in this case for rapes. And at least in my 40 years experience and having worked, albeit in the late 70s, back in magistrate court, in criminal district court in New Orleans, they were a lot higher there then than they are now. And it's interesting because while I on bond in one case, he ends up raping another woman. And we had the language that was used by the judge in this case, who I know and I like, I can't seem to square this language up to the case. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And a lot of victims are asking the same questions. What is going on? And is this part of this overarching bond reduction environment, you know, where we're just not taking into consideration the community and the victims? And have we run amok? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some other issues as well in the next hour. You're going to want to hear this. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. You know, what's interesting is the guy who threatened and Tyrann Mathieu with some sexual misconduct accusations that were made against Tyrann Mathieu trying to extort money away from him is now being summoned into court, and he may get his bond revoked because he hadn't lived up to the terms and conditions of his bond. You know, in the case that we're going to talk about in the next hour, this guy actually went out and raped another woman while out on his bond, and they didn't revoke his bond. But in federal court, they don't fool around. They do take prisoners. If you don't live up to the terms and conditions of your bond over there, guess where you going? You don't pass go. You don't collect $200. You go straight to jail. Because they recognize shock incarceration is an important tool.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.